May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, when we celebrate Christ reigning as King. We step back for just a minute. It's a little strange, isn't it, that we celebrate a king. Generally speaking, we don't like kings very much. We like symbolic kings and queens, like the Queen of England, and that's all nice and lovely. But we don't like kings that actually behave like kings, do we? We don't want kings or queens that are monarchs. In fact, we have fought whole wars to get rid of kings. Let me remind you of what the people of Israel knew a king would be like. They were asking the prophet Samuel to appoint a king for them. This is what Samuel told them. These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. You will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war, and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, and cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, and vineyards, and olive orchards, and give them to his courtiers. He will take one-tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to the officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take one-tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king. But we have a sense that Jesus as king means something different. That somehow that's not the kind of king that Jesus is going to be. And so we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. And we read today the parable of the sheep and the goats, probably one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. And there are a few things we can learn about what it means for Jesus to be king by looking at this parable. Now, the first lesson is kind of a classic lesson that you'll always hear with the parable of the sheep and the goats. And that is that how we treat others matters. How we treat others makes a big difference. And the call on our lives isn't just to serve the ones close to us. It isn't just to serve our family. It isn't just to serve our church friends or people who look and sound like us, but to serve all, the unwanted, the invisible, the discounted, the unimportant, the forgotten, the neglected. The homeless people living in the woods out behind Cinema World or over on the beach side. The folks who sometimes sleep over in the pavilion across the street. The patrons down at Daily Bread. The folks who have been with us this past week for Family Promise. People that are invisible to much of our society. Hundreds of millions more around the world. And notice also that the obligation to serve isn't limited to those whom we might in some way deem to be worthy of our help. Among those identified as receiving service are widows and orphans and the sick, people who have no responsibility for their condition, but also prisoners who who at least presumably bear some responsibility for their state and the fact that they are in prison. Yes, we are told to be smart stewards, but more importantly, we are told to serve, and not just the people that seem to us to be good enough and worthy enough and deserving enough and who have done what they can to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. So now we'll come and help them that little bit. It's a call to serve even the least of these, the ones who are to us nothing. You know, it's easy, relatively easy, to serve our own families, our church friends, our circles, our neighbors, because in a sense we all understand that we're making our own lives better by doing that. We're improving our community. There's the old, you know, what goes around comes around, and the time may come when I'm in need. But this reminds us that our call to serve goes beyond that. And our call is sometimes to serve those who have absolutely no connection to us, who have absolutely nothing to offer, who will not make our lives better in any measurable or noticeable way, but simply to serve because they are children of God. And therefore, they are worthy and deserving. So that's the first lesson to notice about Jesus' kingdom, is that how we serve not just our friends and our family, but how we serve the least of these matters a great deal. The second thing is, and this is one we may not particularly like, but there will be judgment. There is, finally, a separation. There are the sheep and the goats. There are those who live lives marked by service and care for others. And there are those who live lives marked by selfishness and trying to get whatever they can for themselves. Now notice the way this judgment works. It is not, the sorting is not done based on doctrine. Did you have exactly the correct doctrine? No. It's not based on which translation of the Bible you'd like to read, or what denomination your church is, or how much money you gave to church, or what your career was. It's not based on any of those things. It's based simply on how we serve the least. How we serve those who have nothing to offer to us in return. And notice something else. There's a very important difference between the sheep and the goats in this parable. The sheep are told, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me, and so forth. And the sheep's response was, I didn't do that. I never saw you in prison, or I never saw you as an orphan, or sick. I didn't do any of those things. And Jesus, the king, responds, whatever you did to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So you see, the sheep simply express their sheepness in serving wherever they have opportunity. They don't see it as anything special. They don't see it as anything that is demanded. They don't see it as something requiring special acknowledgement and reward. It's just a part of their character. It's a part of who they are. And then look at the goats. Jesus said, when I was a widow or an orphan or in prison or sick, you did not care for me. And their response is basically, Jesus, if I'd known it was you, I'd bake the cake. You see, they wanted to do only that which was required of them. If it was required to serve somebody who has something to offer to me, then sure, I'll do that. But for the goats, you see, it wasn't about simply serving the least. It was about doing what was required. So judgment kind of acknowledges that state of heart. Now, one of the wonderful things about this is, and this is a place where we can carry this parable too far. Remember last week we talked about the danger of carrying the lessons of a parable too far. Because a sheep is a sheep is a sheep. Sheep don't change. Sheep don't become goats, and goats don't become sheep, right? It's genetically predetermined. That is not part of the message that Jesus is giving here. Because the wonderful difference is that we can become more sheep-like. We can become more sheepy in the way that we behave. Now, of course, that means dangerous. We can become more goatish as well. But when we choose to live lives of generosity and service, we become more generous and servant-minded people. It becomes a part of our character. And when we choose to live lives that are miserly and unthankful and ungrateful and just trying to gather things for ourselves, then we become more selfish, inward-bent, self-centered people. And so, see, the truth is, we can move ourselves by every choice and every decision that we make in the sheep direction or in the goat direction. It is not predetermined. It is not predefined. The choices we make can shape us. So, the call on us is to serve, and to serve even the least of these. And then ultimately, that matters to God. Ultimately, there is a separation. And here's the third and what I think is the most stunning and most important point of the parable of the sheep and the goats. This king identifies with his subjects. This king does not see his people as a way to get soldiers for his army, and as a way to get bakers for his oven, and as a way to get money for his fields, and to pay the people to serve him, and so forth. This king, Jesus as our king, identifies with the least of these. Whenever you did it to one of the least of these, you did it for my friend over here? No. For my brother or sister? No. Whenever we do it for one of the least of these, Jesus says, you did it unto me. Such is his identification with even the least of us. That is not your average human king. That is the way Jesus behaves as king. When you look around and you see some of the least, you see your king. You see an opportunity to serve Jesus. Do you remember that Jesus identifies not just with you, but with that one as well? And you know, the wonderfully comforting thing about that is that Jesus identifies with you and me the same way. He doesn't just identify with the least of these, although he does. He emphasizes the point because the people of his day tended to assume that God wasn't really with them. If you were poor or in need, it was because of some fault of your own, and God wasn't really with you. God was with the rich and the successful. And Jesus wanted to challenge that idea and remind them, no, that is not the way this kingdom works. The kingdom is for all, including the least of these. And because it includes the least of these, it includes everyone else without that. And we can make the choice then to celebrate Christ as King by becoming more and more sheepish every day in the choices that we make and the things that we do. Amen. Amen. to continue with the night.